My scripture reading today is in Exodus 19, starting at verse 3. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath. Lord, we thank you for the words and the truth that you have for us. We ask that you will expand the truth to us and let us be ever open to it. And Heavenly Father, bless the thoughts and words that we will express. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we thank you for all of them. Amen. My text is in Exodus 19, and I'd like to go to verse 5 as part of the text, Exodus 19 and verse 5. "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." And I'd like to go keep those words in mind, and I'd like to go to the New Testament and read you another portion of my text to you this morning. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Let's look there. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Do you see the words there in your Bible and mine, taken both from the Old Testament and taken from the New Testament? Are they relative to us today? Are they meaningful? Are they part of us? It's clear from God's word that God has always desired a relationship with his creation. He desires communication with his creation. And it's clear from his word that he desires a covenant relationship. And you say, what is that? God desires a covenant relationship with his people. He desires a relationship with those that he calls and would respond to him as his children. He wants covenant relationship with us today. That is, When we say a covenant relationship with God, what is that? What does he want? God wants commitments from us. Every one of us, as God's children, as he individually calls us to be one of his chosen children. He wants commitments from us. He wants agreements from us. He has promises for us. But we might say, in a sense, they're conditional. Because he wants covenant with us. He wants to present his way and his will, and he wants us to agree to it, to react to it. That's what a covenant relationship is. An agreement, a commitment, promises. This was true in the days and times of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and right on up to Moses. These covenant between God and his chosen, between God and his children. It's no different today. No difference. God still wants a covenant relationship with his people. The covenant to Moses and the children of Israel was God presenting his laws, the Ten Commandments, the royal law. Let's read Exodus 34 and verse 27. Exodus 34 and verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. What was the covenant? At Moses' time, it was what was given to Moses as he brought it down from the top of the mountain. It was what was written by God's finger. Not Moses' mind, but the laws that God had himself and wrote with his finger on two tablets of stone. The royal law, the Ten Commandments. And we see from these words that the covenant is the Ten Commandments. That's, in essence, the foundation, the basic thing that was the covenant between God and the children of Israel. Excuse me. Let's go to James 2 and 8 and get a little bit more insight. New Testament, James 2 and 8. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. One of the places where we know that the royal law was that is spoken of and known as the Ten Commandments. It's the same covenant. Now listen. It's the same covenant that went inside the ark. And how was the ark known? The Ark of the Covenant. Do you see? The covenant, the Ten Commandments, went inside of the Ark of the Covenant is also called the Ark of the Testimony. Same thing. Hebrews chapter 8 and 9 and 10 speaks of the Old and the New Covenants. You want to know about the Old and the New Covenant? Read Hebrews chapter 8, 9, and 10. That is the covenant in Moses' days, the royal law, the Ten Commandments, put in the Ark of the Covenant, carried around with the nation Israel, people of Israel, as they journeyed from Egypt back to the promised land, carried around and kept by them through many, many years. The Ark. And part of what was to be leading up to the temple. And inside the temple of Solomon. This new covenant that has been mentioned is the covenant which the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as he came onto the scene, the new covenant between God and his people, is that was brought about by Jesus Christ coming onto the scene. He enacted the new covenant. Are you part of that covenant? You certainly are. My message to you today is God's covenant people. You are, and I am, God's covenant people. We are his covenant people through and belief and by Jesus Christ. Covenants are based on God's love for his children. That's how it all comes about, because God wanted it. He wanted communication. He wanted decision making by that he had created. And he did not take away decisions or decision making ability. Yes and no, right and wrong, good and evil. All of it we can say yes to or no to. Covenants are based on God's love for his chosen. They're prayers to him in time of needs. You speak and think of the children of Israel. And when Moses came on the scene and all of the cries of the people of Israel, God's chosen people, as they were held in captivity and slavery by the Egyptians, their cries went up to God, and they did not go up to the God unheard. And they did not go up being unanswered. God hears. God sees what is going on with his people, his covenant people. And he does not turn his back on them. God does answer their prayers. He does deliver in the time of need. He provides and he blesses as he promises within his word as part of his covenant to us. He tells us what his wants are. He tells us what his laws are, how to lead our life. And then he expects response. He expects obedience. Do you remember in Exodus the mention of caring for his people as an eagle would provide for their young. God is like that. He cares for them, and He will protect them at the time that it's needed. God will do just as the eagle would do for His children. He expects them to get out of the nest, get out on their own, try their own wings out, decide for yourself things in life, and decide according to God's will and His laws. Exodus 19 and 4. Let's look at that real quick. Because this is how it's described that God cares for us. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You see that next verse? Now if then you will obey my voice, this is part of the covenant. This is what God is telling them. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be blessed above all the peoples on the earth. You would really think that would be enough, having delivered them from Egypt, having wanted this covenant, having given them the covenant and laws. And then, let's read the reaction then. Reinforce the reaction of the people to God's word, His covenant that was placed within the Ark of the Covenant. Exodus 24 and 3. Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. Let's see what Exodus 24 and 7 says. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Let's go to Joshua 24 and 24. Joshua 24 and 24. The people said to Joshua, and this was, of course, at the time he was leading them after Moses, we will serve the Lord our God and we will obey His voice. Do you see, all of this is part of a covenant relationship. This is part of how you enter in and are part of a covenant relationship with God. Let's go to Exodus 19 and 8. Exodus 19 and 8. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses brought back these words of the people to the Lord. Do you see? Covenants require agreements to the terms by all parties involved. Acceptance to the terms by all parties. You know what the requirements are, and then you either agree to them or you don't. And we've read you where all of the people said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. What happened? God's word records that Israel's rebellion and unfaithfulness was virtually unprecedented. No time went, hardly at all. And we see that Israel would not, seemingly could not, stay in the right relationship with God for very long at all. They would and was rebellious, and they were unfaithful. Repeatedly, they broke the covenant relationship. All they had to do was just keep committed, adhere to the agreement, the covenant agreement that they made with God, and they would be the most blessed people of all the people on the earth. Those same promises are to us today. We are in a covenant relationship with God right now as believers in Him and as acceptance of Jesus Christ as His only begotten Son and the Savior of the world. We are God's covenant people. We are His children. Just as if we were Abraham's seed. And in essence, we are. You know, even though Israel was notorious in their rebellion and their rejection of Him, turning unbelievably away from Him to idol gods and idol worship. Can you believe that? Even though the first few commandments of God tells of what our relationship with Him should be like. The very chosen nation of His would not do that, could not and did not for long. However, God's Word assures, when you read God's Word, especially in the Old Testament, if you ever come to know many things, one of those would certainly be that God does not turn His back or reject His people, His chosen people, for very long. He always accepts His people back. He never turns His back on His people forever. He will not and cannot do that. Let us show others God's love in us. And let us obey and teach others His truths. The world needs the truths that God has given us. They need it horribly. And they probably don't know it. But God needs us to work through in order to reach the world. Let's do anything that we can to bring others to Him. Abraham seems to be the first man that God really worked through in a miraculous way. And He told Abraham, I'm going to bless you above all men on the earth. You will be a blessing. And through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And it says, through your seed, S-E-E-D, singular. Meaning, through Abraham's seed and his descendants, leading up to the primary one that the Scripture is speaking of, Jesus Christ, through your seed, all nations of the earth, all peoples that turn to Me and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will be blessed. We will have a covenant relationship. I will have a covenant relationship with My people. And let's see more of this. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are now all sons of God and sons of His covenant with His children. Now let's see more about that. Let's go to Galatians 3, and starting at verse 15. Galatians 3 and verse 15. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. What I am saying is this, the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise, but God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator, until the seed would come to whom the promise has been made. Now, a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? My, that's a question that's prevalent in mainstream Christianity today, and there it is in God's Word. Is the law contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. But the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But therefore faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore the law become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons. Listen. Do you have a covenant relationship with God? Have you committed to Him? Have you said yes to this covenant that He has brought to you? Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Are you sons of God? Are you in this covenant relationship with Him? Yes, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized unto Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, listen, this is important. Should be in yellow in your Bible. Should be firmly fixed in your memory so that you can pass this on to others. Galatians 3:29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Isn't that wonderful? Do you get that? Can you keep it? Can you pass it along? It's important. You are a son of God. You are in a covenant relationship with Him. And you should feel awfully great about it. Before I close, I want to at least tell you the covenant that you are under. that you are in this covenant relationship right now with God as you have accepted Him and accepted His Son. Let's go to Jeremiah 31 and start at verse 31. Now this is a covenant relationship you are in with God. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although it was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see that? And that is not just speaking of the house of Israel. It is speaking of God's people, whose people you are. You should know that and believe it at this point. That's in the Old Testament. Well, let's read verse 34. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. That's part of the covenant relationship with God. That's part of accepting God's gift of salvation, His only begotten Son. That's part of the rebirth. Let's go to, in closing, to Hebrews 8 and start at verse 7. Hebrews 8 and verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second. But finding fault with them, he says, Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. Now listen, New Testament, Hebrews 8 and 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. That sounds a lot like what I just got through reading to you in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. It's talking about God's people, not just Israelites, not just Jews, not just the house of Israel, not just the house of Judah. You are God's people. You are in this covenant with Him. And Hebrews 10, and let's go to verse 15, a second place in Hebrews that talks of this new covenant we are in with God. Hebrews 10 and 15. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, And their sins and their lawful deeds I will remember no more. And where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. What made that possible? The death of Jesus Christ, the one and only perfect sacrifice. That's what brings us all in together as covenant people with God. I'd like for you to stand, if you would, and we want to read our blessing together as we close. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face on you and give you peace. Amen. Wonderful.